Good morning, everyone. We'll go ahead and get started. Just a few announcements, and then we'll get started with our worship service. Wickham Baptist Church will be feeding the ESL class. That's the English as Second Language class at First Baptist Church, November the 27th. If anyone would like to help, you can meet us at First Baptist in Cairo at around 7:45 p.m. We try to feed about 8 p.m. on that. Don't forget, tonight there will be no services here at the church. We'll be going to the community Thanksgiving supper at 6 p.m. at Union Springs Baptist Church. So please, if you can, looking forward to seeing you there if you can attend. Don't forget, December 9th is our community outreach feeding. We'll be serving the community dinner, supper that afternoon from 3 to 6. We need all hands on deck, so if you can help, please be here probably a little before 3 or 2 o'clock or something like that so we can get things going there. January the 22nd, that's a Monday night, Titus 2 Women's Ministry at 6:30 p.m. here at the church. No services Wednesday night, this coming Wednesday night. Just to let you know, to remind you of that, we will resume after Thanksgiving. Any other announcements, y'all? I don't have any others. Birthdays. Birthdays. Paula Farrell and someone else.
Hey, I'm not singing happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday, Harold and Paula.
No, Paula.
Everybody sing, okay?
Here you go.
Happy
birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Only for you, brother.
No.
Only for you. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. It's good to see everyone today. Thank y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful for this day, Lord. We're thankful that we can just come together and just have this time of announcements and fellowship before we start our worship service today, Lord, and just fellowship with each other and laugh and talk about Jesus and all, Lord. But Lord, as we move forward now to our worship service, Lord, I do just want to pray today, Lord, that we have come to worship our risen Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and Lord, I do just want to lift Brother Tim up to you today as he proclaims your message today, Lord. I pray that we have come prepared to listen to God's word today, Lord, but not only listen, but to obey. I pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay.
Our call to worship this morning, if you're looking in the hymnals, will be hymn 203. Let's all please stand if we can and sing and smile and worship our Lord. His name is wonderful. Thank you. this morning will be 564. We gather, 636. We gather together. 636.
Thank you.
his words, and you will direct our thoughts and our responses. And Lord, we lift up our country to you. We pray that you'll bring us back to you. And Lord, we come again especially praying for this offering today. We pray it'll be used to further your kingdom. And we want to be sure and give you all the praise and glory. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you. This morning, before we get started, I had a couple, emergency prayer needs. And so, one of them is for Austin Walker. He's a 1 year old, has COVID. And then Angie Freeman, which is Brother Larry's niece, I believe it is, is going to be put on life support this morning. And so they called the family in to share their time with her. And then Paul Crosby has been in the hospital here, but they're moving him to Tallahassee this morning. And so Miss Phyllis had to leave. And so I just want to say a quick word of prayer for them, and then let's get started. But let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come together this morning, Lord, we realize that, Lord, there are many, many physical needs. Lord, there are many spiritual needs as well. But Lord, as we come together as a church family, we can't help but think of those who are sick. Lord, some may be in their final days. Lord, I don't know. But you know, and Lord, we just ask you to be with them. We pray for healing. We pray for your will to be done in each one of these people's lives. And we pray for their families, Lord, as they are in this with them. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd have your way in their lives this morning. I ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Thanksgiving is coming up on Thursday, and I do want to wish each of you a happy Thanksgiving. It is a day that we set aside once a year to give thanks back to God. That's what our forefathers set the day apart for, right? A day to remember, a day to be thankful for all that God has blessed us with. But you know, for the believer, that's kind of, I mean, it's not wrong to set aside a day, a year to thank God. But for a believer, that should be our obligation every day. That should be our reality every single day. It should be our daily conduct. It should just be part of our character. Because when we realize how much God has done for us and how much He loved us and how much He has given to us, how can we not be thankful? But you know, just like our kids, sometimes they can ask for something, and we give it to them. And when we give it to them, what do? They don't even say thank you, right? But sometimes we're that same way with God. He's blessed us. But how often do we pray and ask God to do something for us? And when He does, we turn and act like no big deal. Well, I want us to think about this morning. I'm going to start out with Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20. Paul says this. Now, and I'm going to kind of preface this by saying, sometimes we think Paul was some holy roller, some bigger, better than us. He was not. Paul was in every way like we are. He fought the same battles we fought. But you know, Paul to me was like a little Danny Rooster. He was always going after people, but he was always doing it for the cause of Jesus Christ. And it didn't matter what he got himself into, he was headstrong. He was going to do it regardless of what who said or what they did to him. But listen to what Paul says here. He says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for, what's the next word? All things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, well, Paul must not really have understood life. He must not have lived the kind of life we do. Well, I want us to look at another passage that Paul wrote. It's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. Well, can you? I don't know if we can go back to that. I'm sorry. I'll just go ahead and read it for you. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. This is what Paul says. He says, rejoice always. Now, are you glad for everything that happens? Me. Pray without ceasing. In everything give what? Thanks. For this, and hear me carefully on this. No, not, don't hear me, hear the Bible, hear God's word. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for who?
You.
For you. This is God's will for you. It's His will for your life, no matter whether the sun's shining or we're pouring down rain. Whether you got money in the bank or if you're dead broke. That's hard to swallow. That's hard to swallow. And you say, well, Paul must not have known what he was talking about. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But here's the thing. For believers, our life should constantly be thanking God. A man that has breath in his body, a woman who has breath in her body, a child, whoever it is, however old you are, what color you are, in everything we should be thanking God. Every situation. Because here's the thing. What, do you know that 2/3 of the world goes to bed hungry every night? How many of us ever go to bed hungry? Honestly. Anybody? Now, you probably get up at 12 o'clock at night and get ice cream out of the refrigerator, right? Or out of the freezer. No, here's what we do. We grumble, we complain, just like the nation of Israel did. I know we talked about them a little bit last week. But they, you know, God had led them out, and God was taking care of them. And they began to complain and grumble that they didn't have anything to eat. So God started dropping little wafer-like crackers on the ground. It tastes like, probably like donuts, because it said it had flavor of honey and looked like coriander. And so we have something like a pastry, and God is feeding them and feeding them and feeding them. And they get tired of eating it because it's the same old thing every day. Amen? So instead of being thankful for what they have, what did they begin to do? Complain. So one thing I left out last week, and I thought about it after the service, because that's how my mind works sometimes. You know, God sent those covey of quail in there, and they piled them up deep, you know. And some of the people ate the quail, and God choked them to death with it. You can go back and read the story. God choked them to death when they were complaining. He gave them what they wanted. You know, I think there are three things that keep us from being thankful. I'm going to run through these quickly because I've got several, or 3 points. I've also got 3 sub-points. But they're going to be quick. 3 things that keep us from being thankful. The first one is pride. Pride, and I kind of covered this last week, but pride keeps us from being thankful. Because here's the thing, when we work hard all of our lives and we build up our nest egg and we build up our home and we build up our property and we build up our kingdom here on earth, amen? When somebody needs something, we're hesitant to give. And we're unthankful to God because many times we think, well, I'm the one who worked hard for all this. I'm the one who went to college and got my degree, and now it's finally paying off. And now I can do this and do that. So everything I have done on my own. Amen? And that is pride. Because if God didn't give you the breath in your lungs and he didn't cause your heart to beat, guess what? You wouldn't have anything. It's God who gave you the ability to work. It is God who gives you the food you need to be able to work. Pride. Another thing that keeps us, y'all forgive me for my voice. Another thing that keeps us from giving thanks is a critical spirit. A critical spirit, or you might say complaining. You know, complaining. When we are so focused on what we don't have instead of what we do have, it causes us to not be thankful. My Bible tells me that my God shall supply only some of my needs. Is that what your Bible tells you? I know this is not on the screen. If I remember right, Philippians 4:19 maybe. Philippians 4:19, I believe, says that my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Now, here's the fact. If you're God's child and you love him and you're serving him, you have everything you need. He's already given it to you. Amen? That's what my Bible tells me. But here's the thing. You know, this is what why do they have so many stinking commercials on TV? Let's use psychology for a minute. They have commercials on TV because you might have a pickup truck that's 4 years old, but they've got this brand new model. You've got a good truck, nothing wrong with it, good tires, everything, but here's a brand new one over here. You can get it. Why don't you drive the best? Well, that's what they said about that one, right? It's constantly, it doesn't matter what it is, what are they trying to get you to do? They're not trying to make you be thankful for what you have. They want you to be unthankful because you don't have what they're trying to say. And they're trying to puff you up. And I promise you, has there ever been anything in your life that you have purchased that lived up to what they claimed it to be? You go buy a pizza, and it looks like it's got all the toppings and everything, because that's what they show you on TV, and then you go and you pick up yours and you get home with it. And what? Man, they forgot to put cheese on it. Man, they put two or three pieces of meat and they call it a pizza. Right? It's never what it claims to be. But that's what Satan does. Satan doesn't want us looking at all that God has blessed us with. He wants us to look at what we don't have. That's the original sin. You go back to the Garden of Eden, and what did the serpent, what did Satan tempt Eve with? She had everything. Think about it. She had everything she needed. Everything. Saints, well, you know, God's holding out on you. If you'll just eat this fruit, God knows, and in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. She had everything she needed. She needed nothing else. But the one thing Satan tempted her with was what she didn't have. And that's the same thing he does with us today. He causes us to be unthankful towards God. Third attitude is simply carelessness. Carelessness. As I think about carelessness, I think about how rare it is to hear thank you anymore. And I know if that is true here in the South, it's even worse in other places in the nation. But just a simple thank you. Thank you for holding the door. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. We should be thankful for everything, and not only to God, but to each other as well. Thanks is a word that is too seldom heard, it's too rarely spoken, and too often forgotten. We forget to say thank you. But if anybody in America should be thankful, who should it be? Us. And it should be Christians above anybody else. But sometimes we get careless. Second point is that thanksgiving should be expressed. Should be expressed. Psalm 100 verse 4 says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving in your heart. So, picture this now. Enter his gates. This is a picture of going into the temple to worship the God of the universe, the creator, the sustainer, the giver of life. And you're coming into his gates. What are we supposed to bring? Thanksgiving. When we come into church, because today this is where we come into his presence, so to speak, we're to come and give thanks. And Paul said we're to give thanks in everything and always, for all things. It has to be expressed. Enter his gates with thanksgiving in your heart. Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is what? We forget how often God is so good to us. You know, we forget that because we get focused on the little thing that's not going our way. We forget about the other things that God has blessed us with, and we focus on this little problem. Because here's the thing. You can go through life, you go through your day, and every single thing go right. And the first time something goes wrong, man, I just had a terrible day. But is that true? No, you have one bad hiccup in your day and you want to lose your whole day, your whole sense of thankfulness because of that one thing. So we need to express it. Think about this. In Luke chapter 17, we're not going to go read it. I'm just going to give you a brief overview of the passage here. There are 10 lepers, and these 10 lepers are outcasts from society. And Jesus comes by, and they cry out to him for him to heal them. And what does he do? He had compassion on them and told them to go show themselves to the priest. And as they were going, what happened? The leprosy was healed. The leprosy was healed on them. Well, these 10 guys are walking down the road to go show themselves to the high priest and offer their two little doves or pigeons to the Lord for their cleansing and sacrifice. And as they're going, they look down and realize their leprosy is gone. And out of those 10 people, how many came back to say thank you?
One.
One turns around and goes back to Jesus and says thank you. And Jesus says, where are the other nine? This is convicting, because how many times do we pray for something and God delivers and we don't even say thank you to him? How many times do we do that? When it should be the attitude of our heart, not just one day a year, but every day throughout the year, we should have that hearts of thanksgiving to the Lord. And Jesus tells this one man who returns, he said, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well or made you whole. And what that is meaning is simply this, that he was healed physically, but so were the other nine, right? He was healed spiritually, but also mentally. Do you know that psychologists today say that true gratitude is the best human emotion experience that you can have? It is better for you than anything else. Why does God's Word so many times talk about us being thankful? Because, hear me out on this, when we focus on things we don't have, or your life is not like, see, that's what's so bad about Facebook and everything, because you never see the real story, do you? They took 10,000 pictures to get one that they could put on there and show the perfect little self, right? All these ads, everything is flooding into our minds, and you don't have enough. You're not good enough. You need to look like this, and you need to look like her, and you need to look like him. And nothing the world is telling you is to say that God has created you, and he's created you a masterpiece. He has created you to be you, love yourself, love your family, love God. They're not telling you that. Be thankful for who you are and the family you have, and the things you have in your life will be transformed. Thanksgiving should be expressed. Thanksgiving should also be expansive. Expansive. We should be thankful for the blessings of life. That's the easy one, right? But everything's going good, got money in the bank, gas in your car. Because if you got gas in your car, normally you don't have money in the bank, right? That's good. But the blessings of life. Here we have all the things that life's good. It's easy to be thankful in these times. But you know what happens? And can I be real with us this morning? Here's what happens. We start out, God has blessed us. And the more he blesses us, normally what happens? We begin to turn away from him. Why? Because we think we don't need him. And pretty soon we've turned our backs on him. And then we're getting ourselves in trouble, and he bails us out, and he delivers us, because that's the true picture of Israel. God delivers them, and they get back in sin, and get right with God, you know, over and over again. But eventually it goes round and round, and we're just like the nation of Israel many times, because the more God blesses us, sometimes we don't need him. And we think we've got to do it on our own, and we turn our backs on him. And he brings us into situations that cause us to what? Turn around and look up at him. We need to be thankful for the blessings of life, for sure. But you know what many of our prayers are normally like? Lord, thank you for being so good to me. And I'm not knocking that. Please don't take this wrong. We sang a song we sang last Sunday morning, hymn number 644. Count your blessings. Do we really do that? If I could ask you to go back yesterday and just write down every blessing God gave you, could you write them all down? See, maybe it's because we're not thankful. Because, you know, when it's good and I'm not having problems, and you know, I can handle everything, handle life on my own, then I really don't need God. But the moment something starts happening, guess what? I start looking back at him. I realize that I have been blessed. And if we look at more of what we do have instead of what we don't have, then maybe we'll realize how much God has truly blessed us. Second sub-point is simply this, the burdens of life. We need to be thankful for the burdens of life. Not just the blessings, but the burdens. We don't like this one, right? We don't like this one. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul says, in everything. In Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always. We don't like that because oftentimes we somehow think that God is mad at us if we have a burden. But you know what a burden causes you to do? And hear me carefully on this. What does a burden cause you to do? A burden causes you to look for somebody else to help you carry the load. Amen? Whether it's a friend, hopefully it's God first. But the burdens of life should cause us to say, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need help. That's why Paul tells us that we are to help carry one another's burdens. It don't mean total for life. It means until they're strong enough so that they can carry them on their own. So Paul must not have known what he was talking about. Writing this stuff. Let me tell you a little bit about Paul. Just a little bit. He had a problem called a thorn in the flesh. Now, we don't know what that is. He might have had arthritis so bad from being stoned and beaten to death, half to death, half the time of his life. He might have been having that problem because of poor eyesight, maybe from being hit in the head with stones and rocks that they threw at him. We don't know the reason why, but he had problems, and they could have been physical problems, and they could have been people problems. Amen? We don't know, but we know there was a thorn in his flesh. Listen to some of the problems he had. He was ran out of town for preaching the gospel. He was imprisoned for what? Preaching the gospel. He was beaten. He was whipped. He was imprisoned, betrayed by friends. He was left out naked and cold, hungry, shipwrecked, and stoned because of his faith. Yet Paul never stopped giving thanks. Man, and when we break our fingernails, we've had just a miserable day. Nothing's going right. Amen. Nothing's going right. Listen to some of what Paul said here. Romans 8:18. He says, for I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. He's saying, listen, all that I'm going through, all that I've gone through, is nothing. Because one day I'm going to see it full value. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. He says, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am what? Strong. You see, he's saying this, and I've been through all this stuff, and I realize that the best person to trust and look to is not me, it is Jesus Christ himself. Philippians 1:12. This is one of them verses that just gets you by the throat, kind of. Because as Paul is reading this, he's writing this church to the church at Philippi because they're concerned about him. They love him. He loves them. And he says, listen. He says, I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have a purpose. And I know I just quoted that wrong, but I want you to realize this. The things which happened to me have actually turned out for what? For the furtherance of the gospel. You see, sometimes the problems you and I are going through is so that somebody else can be saved, is that somebody else can see a testimony of you and how you lived your life for the Lord Jesus Christ, and that you didn't throw in the towel, you didn't cuss and rant and rave because you had a bad day. It is showing others that there is a better hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ himself. We'll be thankful in everything and always, continually, in all things. Now, I want to be clear on this. Paul doesn't say that we should thank God for the problems. Amen? But we should be thankful in them because we realize that, number one, when we're in the problem, he's there with us. He's there with us. He's taking us through the storm. He's taking us through that time. Remember the old picture that people used to have in their homes, and there was a set of tracks going along the beach? Y'all remember? And there was two sets of tracks, and then all of a sudden it went down to one set of tracks. And that saying is simply this, that in those times that when you couldn't carry yourself anymore, it was that time when the Lord was carrying you. It was in those moments he was carrying you through those troubles and trials. But are we thanking him in them, knowing that he has a plan and a purpose for everything? But we're also be thankful for the benefits of life. The benefits of life. The Israelites failed to see what God had blessed them with, and they focused on what they didn't have. And you know, we do the same thing. All you got to do is put a glass of tea on the table. And I want you to tell me, is it half full or half empty? Is it half full or half empty? Because you see, that's our perspective, and that same perspective carries over to how we look at God and look at our lives and we look at things, because our perspective tells us either that glass is still half full or it's half empty. Which is my spirit? Which is your spirit? Is it half empty? And all of a sudden you get to fretting because it's not enough? Or is it looking at it and saying, well, I've got to have a glass of tea left. I'm good. Benefits of life. Because it is good to be alive. It's good to be alive. Finally, our thanksgiving is expected. It's expected. And I kind of said this already earlier. It's expected in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says we are to give thanks in everything. Give thanks in everything. And that is the will of God for our lives. If we would simply learn to be more thankful, we'd have a lot better living going on. Amen? We wouldn't be fussing and fighting about what we don't have or what we can't spend. Here's the thing. A Christian that learns to be thankful is a growing Christian, a growing Christian. They're growing in their faith, they're growing in their knowledge, they're growing in their understanding about how good God is. Do you know why? And I'm not picking on the older folks here. You know why so many of our older people are just lovely people to be around? Because they've learned a secret. You see, when I was younger, I thought I had to work. I thought I had to work myself to death. I thought I had to impress my parents, my neighbors, my friends, and everyone else. And you know what? At the end of the day, it don't matter about none of them. What matters is my relationship with Jesus Christ and your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what is important. But all the things that I worked for so hard, coming up, I was looking, my grandma used to say this, the man with the most toys wins. You know, that's the mentality of so many of us. I want to get anything and everything I can to pile up for myself. But the more time I spent looking and searching for all that, you can't find happiness in all that stuff. Happiness is being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. But when we're thankful, it teaches us just how good God is. And we grow in that. But our thankfulness should also lead us to giving. We should become giving Christians, because when we realize how much God has given to us, why would we not want to give it all? Think about this illustration for just a moment. Now, I've never had this happen to me, and I've never done it, so maybe that's the reason it hasn't ever happened. But I've heard of stories on K-Love and other places where you go through a drive-thru and you place your order, And somebody in front of you has paid for yours. They paid for your meal. What do you do? You know, what do you do? I might have been in a Sunday school lesson this morning too, but I did read it. But I've heard about this happening where half a day long, people would be one after another paying for the person behind them, and they just come on through. That's never happened to me. But here again, I say I've never done it to somebody else, so I can't complain. But here's the picture I'm trying to paint you. Can we be thankful for what God has done for us? Because ultimately, God has already paid it for us. And he's already paid it behind him. He's paid everything. It's paid in full. And we should be thankful. But in the same way that he has done that for us, shouldn't we also be thankful and show that to others around us? We can't. Let me put it this way. Real thanksgiving begins with real thanks and real giving. Amen. Real thanks and real giving. As I mentioned last week, who's going to have a great Thanksgiving this year because of us? Well, let's think about this. The last one. As we are thankful, it should teach us and cause us to be glowing Christians. Like the lights glowing. You say, well, how do you get that? Well, Matthew chapter 5, we'll look at this passage for just a moment. Jesus calls us to be what? Light of the world. Man, you are the light of the world. If you are in Christ Jesus, you are the light. So my question is this morning, if we're truly thankful, shouldn't it show to others that there's something different about us? Shouldn't it shine a light on those that were thankful people, that were not complainers, were not grumblers, were not rappers? That is something different. Jesus called us to be light. And when you are thankful, when you're appreciative to people for what they do and what they've done for you, man, it just lights up the room. You go home feeling better, and so does the other person. But if you complain, who benefits from complaining? Nobody. Everybody loses. Let's begin to be people who are thankful. There's one gift that Jesus wants to give to everyone here today, and that is the gift of Himself. The gift of forgiveness of sin. And if you haven't received that, I pray today would be the day. But maybe God has dealt with you in a different way today. Maybe God has dealt with you to say, listen, you've got a critical spirit, and that doesn't line up with what God's Word teaches. You're a grumbler, you're a complainer, and maybe today you just need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not counting my blessings. Forgive me for always looking at the cup as being half empty. Lord, thank you for the blessings. We should all be thankful. Amen? Will you stand with me? Heavenly Father, as we go into this time of invitation, Lord, I pray that you have your way. Lord, I pray that you would lead us and guide us to just be obedient to you, to just strive to live life not the best way we think how, but what your word tells us. Lord, I do believe that we would realize that true happiness is only found when we are walking in your will, walking in your word. So Lord, I pray that you would have your way. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Him three.